wonderful to be here today. I'm so glad I made it safe here, driving through some interesting snow or whatever that was coming down and all over the trees. And I am so excited to be here with you all. Patrick gave me a notice this morning. He said he woke up and felt miserable. And with all the kinds of interesting, contagious things traveling around, he was thinking of you when he said, could I come and speak for him? Because he did not want to share everything he had with you all. I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. You know, it's the new year, and we're thinking about goals for the new year. I heard that one of the health fitness centers, they started a new class, believe it, at 5:30 in the morning, and it is full. I congratulate those folks. I've heard of some different goals people have for the new year. Like one goal is to renew my gym membership. I thought that was pretty funny. Another one is to find my list of goals from last year. And I have to speak the truth, though, that if you do write down your goals, you're about five times more likely to achieve some of those goals than if you just think the goals and don't write them down. So I'm not against making goals for the new year. That is a good idea. And I noticed yesterday at a health fair I was at, most of the people avoided the free donuts. It's a good thing to have goals. You know, as we think about this new year, and I pray that this new year will be for you all the best year yet. And I really mean that. I think with our Lord that is possible. As you're making goals and thinking about things that you want to see accomplished or changed, transformed, this coming year, the Bible has something to say about that. The Bible, in fact, our Lord Jesus said he's got number one for us. There's a number one goal. In fact, it even almost says, uses the word goal. It doesn't use the word goal, but that's the idea, and it's real clear here in chapter 22 of Matthew. In fact, this is so important. It's in the other Gospels also, where Jesus has this conversation about what is the number one priority. And so for us, whether we're young or old, grandparents, or in school still, we can look at this and say, okay, I want to make sure this is part of my goals for the new year. Let's stand together and look again at this reminder from God's word about what our priorities need to be and to keep. In Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to start with verse 34, because it sounds kind of like our newspaper, the first part. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. There's two different parties at play here. That's what sounds like the news today. When he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. They screwed up their courage. And one of them, a lawyer, that is a lawyer in the scriptures, asked Jesus a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And in other places in Mark, it says, and your strength, your physical strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. No doubt. That's the end of the conversation. But then Jesus says, the second is like it. He doesn't separate the two. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Everything else in the scripture rests upon these two. Let's bow together. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord God, we do pray that you open up our minds and our hearts, because truly, Lord, we are stubborn, or we're worried, or we're just full of fears. Lord, help us to hear what you have for us. Help us to hear your good news, because your words are good news. They are life. We're listening to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of my favorite other verses in the Bible is over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says, "In our Lord Jesus, with Christ in our lives, all of God's promises are yes." And we've tried to adopt a yes attitude in life. Now, I'm kind of I have a pessimist side to me, and I can be real critical. My wife can tell you that. I can criticize a cup of Starbucks, and I can be right and still even criticize it. But that's not the best way to be happy in life, is it? And that's not the best way to enjoy a cup of wonderful Starbucks coffee. And so we have decided we want to be positive people. We want to be yes people. And I see there all God's promises are yes. As we were raising our daughters, we tried to have a yes attitude about life. When my youngest would say, "Dad, can you drive me across town?" And that's the capital of the country. "Can you drive me across town on Friday night about 7 o'clock? That's pretty dangerous. I'd much rather stay home. "Can you drive me across town, Dad, to go to the youth event? The Christian youth event for the city. And there's all these people here, and I ask, who's going to lead it? Who's going to be there?" "I'll do that. And can you pick me up about 3 hours later?" "Yeah, sure, honey, I'll do that." Or when later on, a few years later, and we were in the United States and on furlough, and our daughter said, "You know, there's a Christian music concert going to go on. It's at this big arena, and it's 3 days and 2 nights. Can I go to that? This group's going to be there, and this group's going to be there, and some of the writers of the songs we sang this morning, they're going to be there. And can I do that? And this is the cost, and here's the folks I'm going to stay with." And I asked some basic questions, and I wanted to say, "Are you kidding? You're going to be out on a hillside, just camped out there, sleeping under the stars for 3 days? And this is California, too. I mean, it is scary, you know." And I said, "Lord," and that verse comes to mind, "God's promises are yes. You go," I said, in California language, "go for it, honey. You go ahead. Yeah, do that." Or when my eldest daughter came to me one night and said, or one afternoon, and said, "Dad, some of the youth in our youth group are going to go evangelize at the state rodeo meet." And I said, "Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, we're going to pass out tracts at the entrance. We're going to stand out in front, and it's all legal. They know that. They can stand out in front. They can pass out tracts to folks as they come in and talk to them. Can I do that, Dad?" And I said, "Well, tell me about it." "Well, it starts at 9 o'clock, and we're going to go till midnight." My alarms, I'm a dad. My alarms go off. Midnight. And who's going with you? And she goes down the list, and I go, "Well, that's not a whole lot of folks. You know, where's the pastor and the pastor's wife? And where's..." "No, they're not coming, but these people are going to be there. And we're going to go and be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ." And I think all God's promises in Christ are yes. "You bet, honey. I'll give you a ride down there. I'll pick you up, too, whenever you call me." Because the Lord... God's first priority, as Jesus reminded us, is not don't do this or don't do that. Like I grew up and I heard this saying as a good Baptist boy, "Don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or go with girls who do." You know, some of us, we know that, right? And I realize now, and I realize when I committed my life to the Lord, that that's kind of... There's truth behind that, but that's low priority. There's a lot of other things that are more important. And sometimes we think that God is just a cosmic killjoy. He wants to take away the fun out of our life. He wants to take away our happiness, our joy. And really, it's the flip side. And what Jesus was quoting here, he wasn't bringing this up out of the clear blue when he said, "Love the Lord your God with..." He was quoting back from Moses, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's where Moses gives the Ten Commandments. Ten basic essential things that are really, really important. Don't do this. This is dangerous. You do that, you're gonna be in trouble. You do that, that's dumb. That's bad. Don't do that. But it's all about how God loves us. And he says there in Deuteronomy, right next to the Ten Commandments, you shall love the Lord your God. And that's what you should talk about in your home. How you love the Lord and how the Lord loves you. And then just watch out for these few things, these 10 things that are just, they could really mess you up real quick. And you know, as I think about it, and I think about as I do love the Lord. And because I love the Lord, then why in the world would I want to, you know, it's just like you know, I think you haven't met my wife. Her name is Catherine. Now, if I was working on the roof, and I used to do roofing during grad school, working on the roof, and I hit my finger with my hammer, I wouldn't say, "Oh, Catherine, I love her. I love the Lord." So why would I use the Lord's name in vain, right? I love the living God who does things, who blesses. I see him work, and every so often there's wonderful miracles. I know God is doing things and active and moving. And because I love him, why in the world would I ever kneel down in front of a clay statue? Even a clay statue that's painted by somebody famous. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. We are in this wonderful relationship with the living God. Why would I do those things that hurt him? And eventually, or soon, sooner or later, they're going to hurt me. The first priority for this new year needs to be that we love the Lord. We're motivated by how we love him. And as we go down that list of our goals, like what diet am I going to go on this year? Well, we want to think, and this is what motivates me very often, is that because I realize I've got a brain, we've got a brain, I know that if I eat better, then if I eat wiser, I'm going to live a lot longer. I love the Lord. I know he loves me. And I want to be a blessing to the people around me, to be a blessing to the Lord. And if I eat better, I can live years longer. Right? Right? It's awful quiet. But we really will live longer. And so I think, okay, am I going to have this, whatever it is that I love to eat that I don't need? Do I need that? And I think, yeah, this one little thing's not going to make that much difference, but if I do it every day, how many days or weeks or months is it going to take out of my life so that I can serve the Lord? I love my family. And if I'm all decrepit when I'm retired, I can't go and play with the kids, can I? I can't go skiing. I can't go hunting. I can't go play football. I can't, you know, I'm just sitting there doing nothing. I don't want to be that way. Do you? And so I have a goal. I want to watch my diet. I want to exercise. But it's love that motivates me. Love for the Lord and knowing he loves me. He does have a wonderful plan for me and for each one of us. He loves us and he wants us to love him. The third thing I'm sorry, I don't have the PowerPoint. I'm not as high tech as I could be. I used to have five means of communication going at one time when I was managing the office in South America, including a satellite phone that was live and working. And so it was kind of nice that I could get away from having to be so high tech. And I didn't have a PowerPoint ready today, but I think it's going to be pretty. Manageable, that you can follow what we're looking at here. And you know, it is so positive that not only does the Lord say that that all his plans are yes, but you know, it's about love. I was talking with my wife, and we were talking about the freeway, and I was thinking about freeway driving when we were driving here, and watching the road and strategies to stay safe on the road. And I was recalling a year and a half ago, it was a Friday afternoon, and both of us got home just a little bit early. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were standing there in the kitchen, and we were saying, what are we gonna do this weekend? And my wife said, well, it's too bad we can't go to our granddaughter's birthday. She was gonna be 2 years old. But she's in the far, far side of Tennessee. It is 12 hours of driving at full speed. And so it's too bad we couldn't be there. Her birthday party is going to be at 3 in the afternoon and Saturday, and it's too bad we couldn't go. Yeah, we both have to work on Monday, and it's Friday afternoon. But we were thinking, we paused, and then she said, why don't we? Why don't we just throw a few clothes in the car, jump in the car, and go? And we'll go as far as we can until I get too tired to drive. And then we'll stay in a hotel, and then we'll just drive and be there in time for the birthday party. And yep, we'll do something crazy. We'll just get up Sunday morning and jump in the car and drive home all the way, all 12 hours or 12 and a half, depending on the traffic, or 13 or whatever. And we'll be at work the next day. Why not do that? And we did that. We did that because I love Hazel. I love that little girl. And I love her mom. And I kind of like her dad. And we're just motivated. And, you know, and God is that way toward us. We were singing these old songs. Some of them are old. Fairest Lord Jesus. And I have to tell you that in my life, there have been times where I come to these decisions. Am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? Am I going to pursue a friendship with this wonderful, exciting, beautiful person? Or am I going to stay with the people who love the Lord? You know, sometimes you have to make a decision. And one of those songs would come to mind. Fairest Lord Jesus, fairer than anything, more beautiful than anything you can think of. And I like nature. I don't know about y'all, but I like nature. And I could start envisioning roses, orchids, this and that plant, this and that in nature, the clouds morphing, Yosemite Valley. And I was thinking, the Lord was saying really to me, David, the Lord is more beautiful, more awesome, more exciting than anything you can imagine. Just keep following him. And sure enough, he is. The Lord gives us a positive thing, a positive goal, our priority for this whole year and really for every year. To love the Lord our God with all our being. And I like that. Your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because some of us, we want to compartmentalize our lives. Yep, I go to church, and yep, I tithe, and yep, I sing in the choir. But don't bother me about what I watch on the internet. Up your mind. Got to love the Lord your God with all your mind. You can just, and so you think about it, are your goals, are they helping to love the Lord? You know, as we make those goals, we think about, is this going to help my family to love the Lord? Is this going to help my friends? Is this going to help my wife to love the Lord? Is this going to help me to love the Lord? If I read one book a week, I heard about a well-known, good, great pastor. He reads a new book every week. One fiction, and the next week, a nonfiction. Well, that's part of the reason he's a famous pastor, I guess. I try to do that, and I get bogged down in about 2 days. I've got other things to do. Is that does help him to love the Lord? Is it going to help me to love the Lord? I read about a third of the speed of my friend. So it's gonna mess me up if I try to do his goal. Is this goal going to help me to love the Lord? Is this goal going to help you to love and to serve the Lord truly? And that's what we're talking about, truly. Not to impress the youth pastor, not to impress your mom, even though she might be impressed sometimes. She will. And not to, you know, but for the Lord. And the Lord knows our hearts. So it includes your home, and that's what Deuteronomy was about. That verse that Jesus quoted, if you flip back over there to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's wonderful, we have the Bibles that we can use, that we have to use. Because, you know, really this is not an option. It's not like, do I do this diet or that diet? Do I do Neanderthal or do I do the low carb? Do I do this? Do I do that? Which, you know, what do I do? That's an option. That's a choice. Make your choice. But this commandment, this word from the Lord is not an option. It really is a commandment. Because it is the very best thing, and there's nothing like it. And every other option is bad for us. It's like playing Frisbee on the freeway. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Even though there's a wonderful, wide open space. Don't. I know that's absurd, isn't it? But you would be, it's amazing how absurd what some people do. Back in 1773, on another January, the first of the new year, a young pastor wrote a poem for his message. Now, I don't have a poem. Don't worry about that. He wrote a poem for his sermon on that New Year's Day. Something to think about for his parishioners for the new year. And this poem went like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace hath brought me safe thus far. 'Tis grace will lead me home. We all know that song, Amazing Grace. And Pastor John Newton wrote that song, that poem for his sermon, another January years ago, to encourage folks to focus on God's wonderful grace. And what is most exciting is this kind of love relationship with the Lord is possible, not because of how strong I am or how smart I am, or some people have a real strong will. They're going to keep their goal. They're going to follow their list. It's not about that. It's mostly about how good God is. And when Jesus reminded folks that this is the first priority, he was getting close to the end. He knew the cross was coming. And he was thinking, this is priority, and it's going to be possible because I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to give my life so that those who would want to follow me can follow me. Those who know I love them, and know that I care about them, and know that God Almighty cares about them, they will have my help, because I will rise from the dead and I will live in my children. Our first priority this year, I hope for each one of us, is to love the Lord our God and our neighbor, our spouses, our friends, our pastors, our children, as ourself. And our Lord Jesus will make it possible. We're going to have a time of invitation coming up. And this is an opportunity that if you have not settled this question of who really is most important in your life, who are you going to live for, to follow, to allow to fill your mind, your dreams, your hopes. Today is a day to just tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to be the master, my best friend. You know, not in Matthew, but over in Mark, when Jesus had this conversation, he had a similar conversation with a scribe, a Bible expert, a different fellow. And the Bible expert said, Lord, you're right. To do all these, to love the Lord, that's most important. And to bring all kinds of offerings and sacrifices is nothing compared to loving the Lord completely. And you know what Jesus said to him? He didn't put him down. He said, yep, you are close to the kingdom of God. Here's a fellow that could have been a threat, but Jesus realized, no, he's on track. I think you are listening today. You're here because you were on track. You realize this is what is best. This is the very best there is. Would you solidify that commitment to the Lord Jesus today? If you have never welcomed him as your Lord and Savior, let's do that right now. And we're going to stand here and sing together the song of invitation.